We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN and going to spend some time here talking with someone who's gotten very familiar with the radio station over the last month, and we sure appreciate him spending all the time he has with us here, and that's Ascension Via Christi President and CEO Bob Koppel. Good morning.
Morning, Brendan.
You've been on a lot here talking about the COVID-19 related issues, and rightly so. But today we thought we'd kind of shake things up a little bit and talk some good news that's been going on at the hospital. And I know you're seeing a lot of that here from your staff and people wanting to help any way they can these folks at the hospital.
Sure. You know, I think actually it falls in a couple of different areas, Brandon. You know, one, so we continue just to take care of patients, right, that are non-COVID. And, you know, so you have people who've had life-changing experiences actually at our hospital, either in the cath lab or in the OR or up on the floor or having a baby. All those kinds of things are still going on, and that's, I think sometimes we lose sight of that because, you know, when you'd ask me actually about, let's talk about something other than COVID, I was just happy to finally get the chance to talk about something other than that because there are just a lot of cool things going on. And we are also seeing such wonderful support from the community, and this is showing up in a bunch of different ways. We've had people either privately from departments at the university, from businesses in town, different business groups in town or associations that have been really wonderful about donating personal protective equipment, bringing treats. You know, I think yesterday or earlier this week, probably some people saw some photos of some of the Riley County Police Department folks out in the K-State parking lot across the street with K-State police, actually, you know, waving and, you know, recognizing our staff. And so that's just, it's actually been really cool. Certainly appreciate that. And it certainly helps to keep people's spirits up, and it feels good to be appreciated. So.
Well, yeah, and no doubt a lot of folks are thinking about all those medical workers who have had, long hours, I'm sure. As far as them getting a break and getting a chance to reset, I know that's just as important to you.
Well, you know, we talk a lot internally about taking care of self because you can't be a good provider. You can't take good care of other people if you don't take care of yourself first. And so certainly effort from within our organization and some of our own staff, actually, everything from so some of our like physical therapists, occupational therapists have been pushing out some helpful hints about things that just exercises or things you can do to help reduce stress. We've had input from our dietitians and like our cardiac rehab staff about there's things you can do just to be healthy, which will help reduce your stress. And we're trying to very diligently to get people cycled out, even from a leadership perspective, trying to make sure people can get away for at least part of a day, all of a day, just to kind of recharge and to spend time with their families. And because we, you know, again, it's kind of like a long wait because we are seeing this, you know, kind of slow influx of patients. We actually have a couple positives now in-house. We've got 4 patients today that are PUIs or persons under investigation. And you've got that going on, which, you know, there's always stress and anxiety around that because everybody was trying to be so careful, trying to do everything right. And at the same time, take care of all the other patients, but also they got to go home. And they really need to have that separation, even between work and take care of patients there. And we've actually even shared some of the information out and with the private practices in town because it's the same for them too. And you've got to find a way to create a little bit of a break for yourself and kind of get re-energized for what we still need to take on.
Again, we're talking with Bob Koppel, Ascension Via Christi Hospital President and CEO, about all the good happening at the hospital right now, like kind of a feel-good Friday type segment, if you will. You mentioned there's all the other things that are happening at the hospital. One thing that comes to mind for me whenever I think of a fun time to go to the hospital is to see newborn babies. Have you had a lot of those here recently? And if so, what are some of the stories you're hearing from that department?
So actually, we went through a period here in the community. You started about last September, kind of through January, where the number of births was actually just down. And we have the one OBGYN group here in town. They're our providers locally, and they just didn't have as many babies. We were still delivering 60, 65 babies a month, and we typically deliver around 90. I don't know if people in the community understand. We deliver between 1,000 and 1,100 babies every year at the hospital. And so then starting into February and definitely into March, we're making up for that volume drop. There's actually a lot of babies being born. I think, quite honestly, you know, again, everything is a little colored by COVID. And so we have our visitor restrictions. And so whoever's with that mom, they got to stay with them. They can't, we don't want them leaving. It can only be that one person that's with them. And this is all part of our visitor restrictions to provide protection for both mom, baby, staff, the providers. And so, I mean, I think, you know, again, there's been a lot of leaning on social media and technology to help kind of bridge that. You know, if, in thinking, you know, about your things to be, or I guess be a little more positive or grateful for on this Friday, Brandon, you know, a couple of things that actually did come to mind for me is, you know, I guess I'm personally curious to see how many people will now decide to seek a healthcare career, because that's actually been a struggle for our industry the last few years, is just attracting people who want to care for others. And be that is a categorized as an essential career or what have you, you know, is this actually going to be our way of reducing our long-term workforce issues, because people are going to want to be part of this going forward. And so I'm going to think about that. I also think about, you know, everyone has got to be looking forward to what does my life now look like as we get through this process with COVID-19. You know, what is really important to you? What is are the things that you want to still do this year? And I think it's important for people to have a view of kind of the what's next. We're still in this, and we're going to be in this for several more weeks. That's not changing. But I just think it's important for people to be kind of looking ahead. You know, what's ahead for me? What's ahead for my family? And I think that gives us some more of a positive view, a little more hopefulness, if you will. And hopefully in doing that, that also will help reduce some of the anxiety that some people have.
Sure thing. Well, you mentioned the nurse shortages that we've seen here for a long time. Do you anticipate with some of the folks maybe that are a little closer to retirement age after this pandemic goes away, that they might just say, "Hey, I'm done. I'm retiring," and that might open up even some more opportunities?
You know, actually, I think it's going to be interesting to see. So for some of our, I would say, more senior staff, this has actually been a very energizing experience. Really has called people back to why they do what they do. Why did they choose to be a lab tech? Why did they choose to go into nursing? You know, why did they want to be an imaging tech or respiratory? And I think there's a part of this that's actually very grounding, and I think there's perhaps more appreciation for what they're contributing, you know, to society. So, I mean, I think you have that piece. And, you know, I think it'd certainly be realistic that there'd also be some people saying that this was kind of my last hurrah. What a great way to end my career, because I just helped get my community through COVID-19. And be that a physician or, you know, a nurse or some other member of our team, you know, I certainly think that's possible. It'll be interesting to see. You know, we are a fairly transient, mobile community, and does any of that change? And people maybe are a little more thinking about, I'm going to become more grounded, stay in one place. You know, I've got family or whatever my attachments are. I don't know if we know yet what that's going to look like. But, you know, to me, again, I think that's in talking with a lot of our staff. I was up rounding yesterday on the floor. A number of them talked about the fact that they had moved back to the Riley County area because of family. This is what brought them back. And I think sometimes when you have situation like a pandemic, which is an extreme situation, it really pulls back people to, so what's really important to me? And if that's important, then, you know, that might even actually help us with people just staying here in the community.
Again, we're talking with Bob Koppel, Ascension Via Christi Hospital, President and CEO. Of course, he's been joining us here a lot lately here on News Radio KMAN. And, you know, the message is still been the same. It's been the same for, I guess, going on a month now. I think it was right around mid-March when this all really started to break. But as far as the social distancing efforts and such, are you seeing that working in favor of the health officials?
So I think actually there's no question that has been fairly effective across our state. We're still seeing more positives every day, still seeing people being hospitalized. There's still a small incremental number of fatalities every day across the state. But it's actually, and I don't want to be too optimistic, but it's actually seems to be somewhat stabilizing. And so what that does, this will now make it even easier perhaps to project the number of patients that are coming in or that we should expect, the duration of some of the peaks, if you will. And we do attribute that to the emphasis that's been placed on social distancing and really the reality of how that's worked out. We're also starting to see this in the bigger metropolitan areas like New York City and Detroit. They are starting to kind of stabilize, and they're actually seeing some of their numbers. They're not getting any worse. They may not be getting a lot better, but they're not getting any worse, and they're kind of stabilizing. And that's actually a huge kind of key step to take, because that's really just how you're now having success in limiting the spread. Because it's and a lot of people will say, well, why shouldn't we just get it over with and have everybody get sick? And the reality is we just don't have a health system in our country, in our state, or locally that could manage, you know, 2,000 hospital admissions in Riley County. We just don't have that. And so you've got to kind of spread things out and make it a manageable process. And what we're seeing with the social distancing is that the expected number of cases is actually starting to drop. And so, you know, I can't remember. It's 2 or 3 weeks ago, actually, when I was talking with Dave one morning. You know, depending on the model, you would have either several hundred cases in Riley County or actually several thousand. Well, now we're pretty comfortable that we're going to be back in the hundreds of cases world because of the success of the social distancing. And that is just really a game changer.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, that the numbers haven't really gone up a ton here locally. We've had 20 in Riley, 5 in Pottawatomie County, 5 in Geary County, you know, so 30 total here for the Manhattan Junction City area. But as more people get tested, those numbers will no doubt go up a little bit.
Well, we've been anticipating actually that the number of cases is going to continue to climb. That's just due to the community spread we now have. That's almost, I would say, that's a given. It's just, again, can we manage the amount of spread that we have? And as long as we keep taking the social distancing steps, I think everybody's pretty comfortable that we can kind of manage how quickly that spreads and to how many people.
Well, I know there's some other things going on here besides COVID-19. The month of April is recognized as National, I think, Donate Life Month, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And I wanted to highlight that a little bit because I think it's good to remember the importance of organ donation during a period like this.
Well, you know, to me, that's another one of those looking ahead. You know, there are individuals, sadly, that end up in a situation where organ donation has been a choice for their family. And we just really do encourage people to give that serious consideration. This really is how you impact another life and can really help save someone. You know, not in my own personal family, but a very good friend of ours, he actually was a Boy Scout in my son's troop when we lived in Nebraska, received a kidney transplant. And that has been a life-saving experience for this young man, but it's been a life-changing experience for everybody who's around. And just really encourage people to think about that if you're in a situation where that's an opportunity to really give that consideration. We've got some great organizations in the state of Kansas that kind of meet with families and walk through that process with them, do the retrievals, et cetera. And that really is such a key thing. So I appreciate you bringing that up, Brandon, because I think that is really important. And it's a great example of we can't lose sight of everything else that's going on in the world other than COVID-19. We've got to keep doing everything else too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And hopefully, something like this will kind of keep that in perspective because, I spoke with some of the funeral homes earlier this week, and, they've seen some changes, obviously. And the one thing that they said is this might be a good opportunity to, have pre-arrangement plans in place because, you never know when your last days will be here, and just having having a plan in place can go a long way.
I think it's actually, it gets back to, I'm personally just a big believer in people should have choices and how things go. And we've talked about that a couple of weeks ago, actually, about the importance of choice in healthcare. And it really is a good thing to do way ahead of ever needing to have those conversations to make sure that your loved ones or family know, this is what I do or don't want done. In our case in healthcare, we use some terms like, you have a DNR or a do not resuscitate or a DNI and do not intubate. All of these choices about that people really need to talk about when you're not in a situation of duress. You want to have that conversation way before that. Just was very clear what your wishes are. And, it's been several years ago now, but went through that process with my own parents. And so when it did come time, we knew what they wanted. We knew how they wanted stuff handled, what was important to them. And it wasn't under stress. It wasn't not knowing what to do. It was like, Mom said this, and so this is what we want to do. And I just really do encourage people. Again, that's kind of a looking ahead thing. But
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're about out of time here. Mr. Copeland, anything else you want to share here before we go?
Actually, when I was rallying with staff yesterday, a couple of them brought up because they've seen members of the public wearing PPE. And so we thought we might give tips for that.
Okay, sure.
So, because we're used to doing that here in our environment. So, for example, one of our nurses was actually in a store. Somebody saw another customer wearing a pair of gloves. Okay, that's good. Except while wearing the gloves, touching numerous items on the shelf and actually... my allergies thing, actually touching their own face, touching their hair, clothes, etc. And so all those gloves were just an extension of their skin. It wasn't any different, and it wasn't actually, it wasn't helping or saving them or even protecting them. And so we just really want to, help people understand that when you're wearing PPE, to think about what you're doing. And so if you have a mask on, you shouldn't actually ever touch the mask. You should only touch whether it's tied on or connected. If you're wearing gloves or mask or whatever, you still need to really be cognizant about not touching your face, about making sure you're still actually washing your hands and doing good hand hygiene. The gloves are not a substitute for that. They're just kind of a layer of protection for your skin. But if you're still going through the same sort of exercises and you're just wearing gloves, it really doesn't help or make a difference. So we just would really want people to think about that because I know a lot of people are wanting to wear masks or gloves, and it helps them feel better, helps them not be as anxious. That's great. But just make sure that it is actually practically helping you too.
Okay. Yeah, good advice there for sure. Well, Bob, we sure appreciate the time here, and thank you for all that you've given to us here in the last month here on the radio station. We really appreciate you being a partner with us.
Oh, no, that's all good.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll continue in focus after this on News Radio KMAN.